The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 25th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And you know something? We have been gone a whole month, so all of a sudden I say to myself, where am I? How do I do this? How do we run the controls? Are we in control, Ken? Well, welcome, everybody.
We're in the present moment.
Okay, we're in the present moment, you know, and I'm really excited about this. You know, Ken and I have been very, very ill. You know, we really recommend you folks get the flu shot. I'm telling you something. I was not always an advocate of getting a flu shot, but after having this flu, let me tell you something, get the flu shot. So we're going to start all over again. We're going to start for the very beginning. So hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Man, we survived illness, we survived floods, we survived the rain. I mean, we survived our dog getting lost and found. I mean, you name it, and it's happened to us. And so we're very, very excited to be here this morning. You know, I'm very excited. You know, oh my God, I used that word four times already. Joining me in the studio today is a dear friend and a really strong advocate in our community, Madonna Feather Cruz, who is a distinguished Native American woman living with disabilities and a proud advocate for Native wellness, raising awareness about the critical issues of missing and murdered Indigenous women. I mean, when you start thinking about it, I mean, what is it with these men with women? I don't understand it. And a cultural presentation, Madonna is an enrolled member of the Round Valley Indian Tribe. And a special treat. You know, we have a mother and daughter combination in here, and I am just so excited. Also joining me in the studio is costume designer and winner of the 2024 Diversity in Business Awards, Reynalda Joy Cruz, and we call her Raina. You know, Raina, I have a niece by the name of Raina, and when I saw your, you know, you shorten your name, I said, oh my God, the world is so small. You know, and I'm really excited, you know, and she's actually the daughter of Madonna, and I'll tell you something, that's like the birds of the feather flock together. I mean, these are two beautiful women. And, you know, our daughters are so important, you know, because what they're doing is they're presenting the next generation. And what we instill in them, what we inspire in them is what happens. And I think it's very important. And I'm really interested. I'm going to ask Raina, so tell me, what kind of mother is Madonna? Is she as good as we think she is? But anyway, well, this is the second time that I've had Madonna on. I had her on last year at the same time around Thanksgiving because, you know, this is a very special time, you know, where families come together and they give thanks for all the wonderful, wonderful gifts that we've had the year. But there's a strange kind of history behind Thanksgiving. You know, we had got this story when we were growing up as children. You know, the settlers came in and the Native Americans helped them with their first dinner. And everybody was, I guess, a kumbaya moment. And it wasn't really like that, you know. So what's very interesting is this year, Thanksgiving comes, I can't believe, on November 28th, which is amazing to me. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, where did the year go? Where did 2024 go? Last night, Ken and I were sitting around the table, and I said, where did the year go? And he says, you know, I think when you get older, it goes by very fast. Well, I have a young person. Do you think this year went by pretty quick, Raina?
Absolutely.
So, see, she kind of agrees with me. She says, yeah. So the day after Thanksgiving is called Native American Heritage Day, and how long has it been since people have been going to Alcatraz Island? Do you know, Madonna? Probably about 15, 20 years right now. And so what they do is that they're celebrating their own Indigenous Day. You know, it's kind of an Indigenous People's Day. And I you know, for people who are interested in, let me get my notes here, for people who are interested in participating, which I think is really, really interesting, that's on Thursday, November 28, 2024. There's a ceremony going to be happening. It's called the Sunrise Ceremony. And Randy Hurley, if you're listening, I know that you've been to several of them, but since he's had a stroke, he hasn't been able to go. But he used to come back and give us a report on it. Because we oftentimes wanted to go, but I'm not an early morning person. And you had to get up at 4:15 in the morning, and it's $15 to get on the boat to go to Alcatraz. And they have a wonderful, I mean, I've watched videos on it. And we're going to have an opening song that really addresses that, the opening ceremony. So I think it'll be very powerful for us. So it's happening on Thursday, this Thursday, November 28th. If you're interested in going, there's a phone number, and that's 415-641-4482. And the woman's name is Morning Star Golly, and she's a Native American, and she'll answer any questions that you have. And it's very, very interesting. And we're going to talk about the ceremony. Are you going to be going this year, or you're not sure?
Yes, we're going.
Oh, so they're going. It was up in the air. You know, we were going to do the show last week, and all of a sudden, when I realized that today is the 25th, I said, this is great, because Thursday is Thanksgiving, and I'll find out whether they're going to go or not. So the mother and daughter are going to be going together. So, I envy you. I really do. I envy you. I don't know if envy is envy okay, Ken? I guess envy is okay. But anyway, and also the event will be broadcasted live on KPFA 94.1 FM for folks who want to listen to it. But if you're interested in going, it departs from the San Francisco Pier 13, and they leave every 15 minutes, and the charge is $15. And I think they bring you back and forth. You go early in the morning, and we will talk about it. So that is very, very exciting. Another announcement I have besides this one is that on December 7th and 8th is the Goddess Craft Fair in Sebastopol, okay? And if you're interested in finding out more about that, you just type in on your internet goddesscraftsfair.com and all the information will come up. You know, I haven't been on the radio for a whole month, but I've been very ill, so I've had a lot of time to watch television, and also the election happened. And I know people are, there's so many mixed feelings. You know, I've been listening, reading on especially Facebook, people are writing, you know, if you voted for so-and-so, unfriend me, and all this other stuff that's going on. And my feeling is, folks, you know, we have to let go. We have to realize what is. And just because we've had an election doesn't mean we're going to stop speaking out. Just because we had an election, it doesn't mean we're not going to stand up and continue to stand up for women's rights. You know, I really believe, and I don't know if this is, I've had friends call me a woohoo and whatever you want to call me, but I really believe in a higher power. I really do. My heart of hearts, I believe in a higher power. And I believe when things happen, when we are confronted with things, we have choices to make. We can go down in the river and say, oh, no, it's so horrible. You know, this horrible election, life is over. Or we can say, hey, wait a minute. Let's see how we can make the best out of what's happening. And we've been here before. And when I think about Indigenous Peoples Day, and I think about the Indigenous people, I was thinking, why are they important? You know, why are they really important? Well, you know why they're important? Because Indigenous people were on this land long before we had history, long before we had books. All the information they were giving us was through their intuition, through what they saw, what they felt, what the animals told them, what the plants told them, what the ground told them. You know, I mean, can you imagine all of a sudden you're an Indigenous person, all of a sudden it becomes dark. And you say to yourself, oh, my God, is the sun going to come up again? You know, you have no idea what is going on. We know what's going on. We have more science than they had. Their science was more intuition. intuition for the land. You know, I mean, just think about it. We made it 10,000 years. How'd they figure out what plants were poisonous? How'd they know what food to eat? How'd they know that the water was okay? There was no books. You know, it's the same thing like a child being born. You know, you and your partner have your relationship. One day, all of a sudden, whatever your act was, all of a sudden the sperm hits the egg and boom, a human being is developing. There's no code, there's no book that goes down in your woman's stomach and say, oh, this is the way you do it. Now you're one day old. Now you're no, it's all part of the great spirit of nature, of the great mystery. And until we understand that, and still we recognize that all life on this earth is sacred, and all people, we are all one body of a family. We're a family of humanity. Until we all recognize that, nothing is going to change. Well, what happens the last month of the, you know, the last show of the month we always do is we do the Women's Spaces Pledge. And what the whole idea behind the pledge is, you know, I developed it for my grandson. He came out of his nursery school one day. He was about 4.5, 5 years old. And he started crying. I says, Ryan, what's the matter? He said, oh, my teacher told me that I'm a bad boy. And oh, my God, my hair stood at end. Someone's telling my grandson that he's a bad boy? How dare them? I says, Ryan, your self-esteem doesn't depend on that teacher. And I gave him this pledge, and we said it every time he got into the car with me. And when he graduated Santa Cruz University out in Santa Cruz, and he was coming down the aisle, all of a sudden he yelled, Grandma, my self-esteem, and he gives me the whole pledge. And here was this grown man, and today he's the father of two children. Oh, my God, I wonder if that's an omen that there's another one coming along the way. And it's just amazing. So we're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge today, and it's really exciting when I have more people in the studio that can do it with me. So let's go ahead and do the pledge, and then I'm going to take a musical break, and then I will formally introduce my guest. Okay, so the Women's Spaces Pledge is real simple. I'm going to say it first. Just listen to what I say. And then for you folks out that are driving, don't close your eyes. Just listen. For you at home, maybe find a nice chair that you can just sit and relax. And just listen to the words. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Now, when I think about that, I really thought about, you know, we call ourselves a Christian nation. And one of the greatest messages that Jesus gave from my research is he said, go to the Father within. Well, that's what it is. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. It depends on my relationship with myself, the spirituality within us, and my higher power. And I'll tell you, folks, at 84 years old, you get closer and closer to that higher power. You start hearing that voice. You start questioning life. You start questioning, wait, you mean I'm really coming to an end? You know, so there's that power there. But when your self-esteem is intact, no matter what comes your way, you can handle it. You know, there's an old saying, like, it's the same thing. Like, remember that old saying we were growing up? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, this is the same idea. So I'm going to invite Ken and Madonna and Raina to join me, and we're going to do the pledge. The first thing I will do, I will say the line, and then you repeat it after me, and then we'll do one time all together. Okay, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. I love directing. 1, 2, 3. My self-esteem.
My self-esteem.
Does not depend.
Does not depend.
Does not depend.
On anything.
On anything.
Outside.
Outside
of me.
Of me.
My self-esteem.
My self-esteem.
Depends.
Depends.
On my relationship.
On my relationship.
With myself.
With myself.
And my higher power.
And my higher power.
Ooh, that sounds really wonderful. Just think about what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, take it in. That means if all of a sudden you see somebody being mistreated, you know, you're able to stand up strong and say, ah, or if somebody throws something at you. I mean, I had someone calling me. They said, you know, Elaine, your values are really blank, blank, blank. And I, all of a sudden I thought, wait, who are you to judge my values? And I felt pretty bad. But all of a sudden I realized, hey, Your opinion of me does not have anything to do with my opinion of me. I know who I am. So now we're going to say it together. One, two, three. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Oh, ladies, that just sounds wonderful. It gives me the goosebumps when I hear you. Well, we are going to take a musical break right now. And the song I'm going to play, it's we played it last year. And I'm into ritual. And I'm into tradition. And I like that on the last month of every November that we are on Women's Spaces and we are doing this program, talking about the indigenous people, talking about what's happening on Alcatraz, and talking about all that purpose. And also there's a song, it's called the American Indian Movement Song. And this was a recording that was made by Dennis Banks. And it's thanks to the, they made it possible, it was the Minneapolis American Indian Center actually helped make the recording. And so this is a very, this is kind of a ritual. This is, I believe, Madonna, is this, do they kind of start the program with this song? What is this song about?
When we get on the boat to go to Alcatraz in the morning, either on Indigenous Peoples Day or Thanksgiving Day, this same song is sung. When we are getting ready to walk up to the site where the sacred circle at Alcatraz, this song is also sang. So, thank you.
Well, that's amazing. It's an amazing song. And also, one of the things that I think it's very important, you know, we do this segment on our history ourselves. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's very interesting because, like I said, I've been gone a month and I said, oh, my goodness, I'm out of sync already. But one of the things I try to do is this segment on our history is our strength. And I thought I would honor three Native American women that made amazing impact, and it's their birthdays in November, and I thought let's honor them. And the first woman was born, and I'm sorry that I'm getting a little bit out of sync. We're going to play this song as soon as I do this a little bit of segment here, and I'm really sorry, folks, if I sound a little confused, but so what, the whole world is confused. Anyway, on November 18th, 1945, that's when this woman was born, and she made her transition on 2010, and that was Wilma Mankiller. She was the first chief of the Cherokee Nation from 1985 to 1995. And, you know, one of her favorite quotes, and I just love this whenever I do this every year because I kind of honor her every year, is the secret of our success is that we never give up. You know, we never give up, you know, and I believe when we're doing the higher powers work, the great spirits work, the great mysteries work, it just helps us to move forward, you know. And Wilma Mankiller spent her life fighting for the rights of American Indians. The surname Mankiller, I wondered what, you know, what do you mean Mankiller? That's not, I mean, my goodness, is she going, you know, but really what it is, it's Asaga Dahi. In the Cherokee language, refers to a traditional Cherokee military rank, like a captain or major. So she was a major leader of her people, moving them forward. The second person I think is very, very interesting, she was born on November 24th, 1910, and made her transition in 1982. That was Lucy Covington. With her heritage, many chiefs, she was a tribal leader who saved the Colville Indian Reservation in Washington State and made the federal government fulfill its treaty responsibility to Native Americans. And she supported higher education and training for tribal members. You know, this woman stood up and said, my people deserve to be educated. These are young people who were put in homes and their language was deprived of them. And here this woman stands up and says, no, we need to educate our people. And that was the beginning. And she was born in 1910, even before women got the vote. I mean, it's amazing. So happy birthday, Lucy Covington. Excuse me. And then on November 29th, 1902, that's when she was born. She made her transition in 1979. And that was Jessie Parrott. She was a spiritual and political leader of the Kashawa Pomo Indians. Famous for their basket, possessed the gifts of prophecy, and as medicine women used hand power. Think about this. They didn't have doctor's office. They didn't have all these different places. She used hand power to counter illness. And you know, folks, there has to be something to it, because the human race has been around for several thousand years, and it isn't till since the last 100 years that we really have, or actually the last 200 years, that we have all these different medication. You know, it's only about not even 75 years since everybody got Novocaine when they went to the dentist. So, you know, when you think about what these native people went through and how they survived and what their intuition was telling them, power of her hands to heal. So happy birthday to these amazing women who were really...
Okay. And Elaine, I just would want to also honor one other...
Go ahead.
Native woman. It's actually my daughter. She was born November 14th, 2003. And just this Native girl came from the stars. I mean, she's amazing. And she's just getting started. So thank you for letting me say that.
Too. It's awesome that I share a birthday
with another amazing woman, Seisheen Little Feather. She also had her transition this year.
Talk in the mic, Liv.
Seisheen Little Feather, she and I share the same birthday, so that's really cool, too.
Well, I got to tell you something. My granddaughter, Caitlin Beverly, who has my middle name, is born November 14th.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, come on. You know, hey, Katie, if you're out there listening, you know, we're going to
find... Happy birthday.
We're going to find a native name for you.
Right? Yes.
November, and I'll tell you something. She is... November 14th. Mm-hmm. I've got to do more astrology on that day. You know, that really is... I mean, the 14th, and which...
9 months after Valentine's Day. I mean...
Oh, I guess so. Well, now we know. Okay. Nothing like having your daughter on with you, Mike Arano. Anyway, we are going with that thought in mind. And it must have been very pleasurable, because look at this beautiful, beautiful young woman that came out
the
of there.
Best Valentine's Day.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, because my granddaughter was born on November 14th, and her and her husband, were, at the time, my daughter and her husband were having a little bit of a problem, you know, whether they're going to stay together and all this. And then all of a sudden they came together, and my daughter calls me on the phone and says, "Oh, Mom," she says, "Dave and I are together again." And I don't know why, but all of a sudden in my head I popped, "Oh, my God, she's pregnant." And she was November 14th, so we have a lot in common there.
Yes.
So let's go ahead, Dave. Let's go ahead, Ken. Oh, my God. You know something? This is wonderful being back on the air. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope you folks really appreciate what radio is all about, you know, and what community radio is about, what KBBF's about, what, you know, all the stations around the United States community radio. In fact, for me, with the election that happened, once the community radio goes off the air, we know we're in trouble. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play that song, The American Movement, sung by the original by David Banks. And when we return, joining me in the studio are Madonna, I love this, Feather Cruz, and her beautiful daughter, Raina Joy Cruz. And we are going to talk about Indigenous People Day and what happens on Alcatraz Day at Alcatraz Island on Thanksgiving. So let's go ahead, Ken.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, when I think of Dennis Banks and, you know, I think of so many Native American men, it's just amazing that they are able to keep their spirit up. And, you know, I want to just before we go into the interview, I just want to tell you a personal story, how ignorant I was. I went back to Los Angeles City College in 1970, and in 1971, I was able to take a Native American class. I mean, they start having these different classes, indigenous people's classes, and I decided I was going to get educated, and oh my God, the teacher was 6 foot tall, the most gorgeous man I ever saw, with the most beautiful black long hair, Native American, and I mean, I just would look at him. I was a 30-year-old woman. I think, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe I was in this class, and he started talking about what the travelers did, what they put smallpox in the blankets of the Native Americans. And all of a sudden, I was in shock. And I said, oh, I thought the Indians were the bad guys. And here comes this guy walking up to me, and he says, oh, Miss Pine, my name is Pine, what made you think that? Where did you learn that information, the way he said it? I said, on television. And in that moment in time, I realized that all this stuff that I've been told all my life was a bunch of lies. So it's amazing. So we need to understand the truth. We need to understand what is real and what is not. And for you guys, I just want to remind you, for you joining me right now, I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, the board of directors, members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And joining me in the studio, I am so honored, is Madonna Feather Cruz and her daughter, Rinalda Reina Joy Cruz. Wonderful having you here, ladies. Do you mind, Madonna, if I tell a little bit about you?
Sure, go ahead, Elaine. Thank you.
Madonna Feather Cruz is a distinguished Native American woman living with disabilities whose unwavering commitment to making a difference in her community and beyond has earned widespread recognition. As a proud advocate for Native wellness, raising awareness about the critical issues of missing and murdered Indigenous women and the cultural preservation, she has dedicated her life to championing causes to her heart. In addition to her advocacy work, Madonna is an influential cultural ambassador, bridging the gap between traditional practices and the modern world. Of her eloquence and insightful presentations have made many, many honors and acclaim for her. So welcome. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Madonna. Welcome here. It is an honor to have you here, to be honest with you. And let me tell a little bit about Rinalda here. And Rinalda has just won the Diversity Award 2024. She is a young woman, and she works for Cinnabar Theater. And it was so interesting how proud people were that you had won this award. So, Rinalda, yeah. I did not have much information on you as far as a bio goes. I know you are working at the Cinnabar Theater. I know you believe that the written word and getting it out is very important. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about you. Give us a little background.
Hey, my background comes from a lot of time with my grandma. But, yeah, I just won this award, and I work at Cinnabar Theater. I also am a student employee at Santa Rosa Junior College for the theater department in the costume studio. Usually my days are filled by doing costumes and doing graphic design stuff. I am... my bio. Let me think about this.
Well, you have a message that you want to give. What is your thought? What is your purpose that you're doing what you're doing?
My purpose is to create cultural competency in the theater, film, and entertainment industry.
So how does that come about for you? What is it that you would you feel? How do you contribute to that?
It comes about to me by having simple conversations and dialogues with people. Usually in our production meetings, if I hear, it's usually someone saying, let's have a powwow, and I say, let's not, because that's not what we're doing here. That is completely different. It's usually things like that where people don't know. Yes, people just don't know. They've never been told. So I'm a very kind person, and I do just spread my joy, and it is very, like, you can feel very belittled when you don't know things. So I recognize that, and it's just like, we all have to change. We all have our part. I'm here to make art, really, and just be happy.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I think about that time back at Los Angeles City College when I said that and when the gentleman came up to me, I mean, you know, because here you are. I was 30 years old at the mm-hmm. time. I was actually 31. I went back to school at a late time. And I'm actually glad I said that mm-hmm. because he educated me. And he not only educated me, he embarrassed me.
He gave you that cultural.
I was embarrassed by my ignorance. Yeah. And when I recognized that I was ignorant, I said, no, I have to find out more. And I mm-hmm. began to study. I not only began to study about the Native Americans, I began to study the Holocaust and World War I and all the different things. And I found out, my God, all the misinformation we're getting. Yeah. You know, that's why community radio is so important. Well, thank you, Raina. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I know I put you on the spot, but, you know, it's amazing. I'm so honored to have a young woman in.
Thank you.
Well, before we start in about what's going on in Alcatraz, we just had an election, you know, and so many people are just spinning around about it. For me, I have to let go. I have to say, okay, it happened. How can I work towards making it even better? How can I help people accept this? How can we all go through it?
Yeah.
So tell me, let's start with you, Madonna. What were some of your thoughts when all of a sudden you realized, you know, hey, a woman did not win. We're not going to have a women president, you know, and all the different areas. What was your thought after the election?
My first initial thought was police officers are not going to be murdered like they were last time with the insurrection. I was disappointed, but quickly I just thought of my people, where I come from, and I thought, well, my reservation is going to be the same no matter what. No one's going to come, you know, save the reservation. It's going to continue to be the way it is. The people have to take care of what is there. The community has to take care of itself. It's a very rural place. And so no matter who's president, my reservation is still going to be there, and things are going to still be happening. And we're going to continue to, you know, deal with a lot of lack of resources there. Khadijah Britton has been missing for several years. So whoever the president is, it's not going to necessarily affect me where I'm at or my reservation.
So you kind of come to the conclusion that no matter what happens, I still have to stand up. I still have to take care of business.
Exactly.
And how about you, Raina? I mean, here you are, young girl, young woman, and you know, it's your future. I mean, you know, when you start looking, we start getting older, you know, your future is a little bit less. You know, you don't have as much time on the planet, but you have a lot more time than I do, even than your mother does. So what was your thought?
Well, I am young. I have TikTok. I have all the social medias. And after the election, it's just a bunch of, like, it's a bunch of brain rot to me at this point, when people are uneducated and just can just say whatever they want. Love it. Love free speech. Love the First Amendment. But it is a, like, recognizing all the, like, there's just so much still to work on. And I think for me, it's just so sad. It's just like, why can't we have a woman president? You know, it's like, why not? And it's both. That's what I seen a lot. I just felt so sad. So sad. And there's this picture of Hillary and Kamala after the election. I'm just both sitting in defeat. And I know every woman has felt that. Going against or competing with a man, a woman has always lost.
Well, it's so interesting to me, especially when you hear men talk against it. You have to remind them, hey, buddy, every one of you came out of a woman. So come on, let's get real. Well, you know, I think that's a real honest, you know, just seeing your expression, like you said, like kind of your brain. How do you take all this in here? Here they can't have a woman president, or, you know, and not only that, the values, you know. Like I remember when this person said, well, your values are blank, blank, blank. And I said to myself, my values are not blank, blank, blank. But I can't help but recognize, just like what Donna said, is that all of a sudden you realize nothing's really going to change. Mm-mm. You know, and all, to be honest with you, when you look at the fact that women have lost the right to control their own bodies, where were they all these years when little by little they're chipping off? So we can't just all of a sudden stand up. So right now we have a mandate. And the mandate is to do the Women's Spaces Pledge and to stand up and speak out and say, no, this is not good enough.
And especially after the election, I mean, everyone in the theater department was just so devastated. And our thing was just, we get to make art. We get to make art. That's what we could do.
Oh, we can't find it. You can look up at Becky Hobbs, Ken.
I did.
But yeah, just devastated, just sadness. But we just wanted to just keep doing what we know how to do well.
Well, you know, Madonna, you said something very interesting. You said you're going to keep on, Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to keep on doing what you're doing. I know you're working a lot with these young women that are missing. I mean, that to me is just mind-boggling. I mean, from a mother's perspective, I can't imagine what it's all like when all of a sudden you find out you can't find your daughter. I mean, just to me, it's just a mind-blower. Where do you get your tenacity? Where do you get your courage? I mean, that you can continue on. You know, what message would you tell people? Is how can they continue on, and what is important?
Thank you for that question. My grandmother, her name was Norma Knight. She was Norma Fullwilder. She was from Round Valley. That was her tribe. And she was taken away to boarding school. She was taken. Wow. She wasn't asked to go. She didn't go voluntarily. But, you know, she went to boarding school unwillingly. My mother went to Indian boarding school willingly, and I went to Indian boarding school willingly. And just the atrocities that my grandmother, my mother, and myself went through, I'm a cancer survivor as well. I mean, I'm thankful to be alive, first off. And the work that my grandmother started, she's the founder of Suskell Intertribal Council from 1972. So I am continuing on my grandmother's work, my mother's work. My daughter will continue on with my grandmother's work. So I'm a workaholic. I love to work.
We come from a matriarch.
So, you know, I'm grateful to wake up every single morning. I'm grateful that I have, you know, eyesight. I'm grateful that I could hear, that I could speak, that I could walk. You know, I am a person with disabilities, but I'm an able-bodied person. So I have physical disabilities, mental health disabilities. You know, I just said I'm a third-generation Indian boarding school survivor, cancer survivor. So those are things that I accept, and it doesn't stop me.
But that's interesting. So you really had that experience of going to the schools.
Willingly.
She's also a fire sign, so that has to do with it, too. I think she's a Libra. So, balance.
Yeah, a lot of balance.
Yeah, my grandson's a Libra. See, so we're just all connected. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is too funny. Well, you know, it's really interesting. Because that's, for me, you know, when you look at when I had on my report card when I was in kindergarten, they wrote a little note. They said Elaine should understand children should be seen and not heard. Well, you know, that was not the right message to give me, but that's okay. But, you know, it made me stronger. You know, it made me understand that not the whole world was not going to accept me, that I had to accept myself. And that I had to stand up for what I believed was right. So I think that's a very important message. And also what you said is just the joy of having a life, that you're here, that you have a voice, that you can talk, you have a beautiful daughter, all the different things that happen. Excuse me. I'm still coughing. I'm not contagious. But, boy, I'll tell you, this cough just stayed on forever. Well, let's just I don't want to take a short break because time is running out with us, and we need to talk about the Thanksgiving. So, you know, I saw, you know, that Thursday is going to be Thanksgiving. And what has evolved since 1969 is the Alcatraz occupation. And I understand you attended and will, now that you've made the decision, that both of you will attend. Talk about AIM. Talk about why it's important. And what is the basic motivation for going to Alcatraz, for doing this?
The occupation was started in 1969. I was not born yet. AIM means we're still here, right? Our government of Native Americans, they wanted us terminated. So for me, AIM, it means we're still here. The leaders, Dennis Banks, Clyde Belcourt, Vernon Belcourt, and my uncle Russell Means, it means legacy. It means to continue on with work. AIM, you know, being a grassroots movement that was founded out in Minneapolis, but is still strong today within me, within my heart, my spirit. You know, you played that song, the AIM song, and that's just, I love that song. I could listen to it, you know, over and over again. But you know, to bring awareness to injustices that Native people have had. We've came a long way with the help of the American Indian Movement.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think has happened is there's a certain level of pride, you know, to when you find out what your history is. You know, like I think of my own grandmother. I think of her coming over from Europe, coming from Russia, escaping pogroms, you know, being killed. I think of the courage. And then here you are. You're another generation of people who have been here hundreds of years. So where do you get that that oomph?
That gumption.
That, you know, where do you get that tenacity? Because you do, you know, you and I have one thing in common. People either love us, or they can't stand us, or they want to be our friend, or they walk away from us. I mean, we have this kind of personality. Yeah. So where do you get your inner strength?
Back to your pledge. I mean, this is like a motivator right here. This is it. This pledge. That's where I get it from. Mm. You know, it's inside. It's inside. And you know, you mentioned earlier about people, you know, saying on Facebook, like, unfriend me. There's a lot of ugly out there right now. And
Facebook drama. There's a song, too. It's really good.
You know, and I choose not to be ugly. That's something my grandma would say, do not be ugly. And that meant inside and outside. We were going someplace. Be respectful, be humble.
You also can't see it right now, but my mom always has her thinking cap on. So that's something she passed down to me, was a thinking cap. I remember in elementary school, my mom saying, okay, do you have your thinking cap, honey? Are you ready to go? Yeah, so that, I think that's a little bit too. She's always thinking about 10 years ahead. You know what I mean?
So what you're saying, Rinaldi, is that your mother has passed on the idea that if you start thinking about things, if you start understanding things, so where do you get your courage? I mean, you know.
Oh, physics. An object in motion stays in motion.
I love that.
We're objects. If we just keep going, we won't stop.
We just keep going and we won't stop. You know, that is so important. Mm-hmm. We just keep going. And there was a song that I was going to play. It's called By My Silence, I Give My Consent. So those of you who are out there that are quiet, those of you who are out there that didn't vote, those who are out there that are going to, they hate everybody and want to get rid of everybody, you know, by your silence, you give your consent. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very important. Well, talk about, okay, so how many times have you gone to Alcatraz and been in part of this ceremony?
How old were you,
Raina, when you first?
I was a baby. You know, going to Alcatraz, whether it was storming or raining, light raining or not, I had no choice. I was going, you know, and I did the same to my daughter. So the times I've been out there, I can't count.
Yeah, I think I've gone maybe 19 times. I'm 21.
And so there's two times a year that we would go. And then there's private times where yes. we would go. During COVID, it was not open to the public, so there were only a small amount of people that went on one boat out there to do the ceremony. Me and my daughter were there then. It's tradition, it's culture to me. Passed down with my grandmother, my mother, and I've taken my children out there in the rain, you know, and we have to wake up at 2 a.m. to get down there for the first boat at 4:15. This year I hadn't bought my tickets yet, and she said, "Oh, Mom, do you have her tickets?" And I said, "Yep." And I got to, like, there were maybe 30 tickets left, and so I bought us tickets, so we will be going.
This year it was, like, sold out.
Yeah, it's sold out. It's sold out.
I think Colin Kaepernick donates, too, still. He donates, like, a choco truck.
For breakfast burritos, yeah. He came out there about 7 years ago. He's an NFL player, yeah. Colin Kaepernick.
The one who took a stand for doing
oh,
the...
Oh, I
yeah.
know. Oh, my God.
Yeah, who took a knee. Yeah, he also supports yeah. it. It's yeah. it's quite the community there.
Well, Raina, as a young woman, mm-hmm. you know, part of a Native American heritage, mm-hmm. you know, I mean... That in itself is really an
it's
honor.
A lot. Yeah,
when you think about it, that you're, you know, the genetics are still alive. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
you have one generation after
oh,
another.
Yeah.
What is your feeling when you go there? Like, if you were to, if I were to be one of your friends,
I'd be like, "Welcome to my home. This is where I grew up." That's how I feel. I feel like it's like, it is Native church, and growing up, I liked going to church. So when I go there, it feels like home. I just feel like I'm home. I love the smell when you're on the ferry. I love the smell of the water. And then when you get there, it just, you feel the ground colder. Like, it's just such, I love immersive experiences, and that going on the boat, like, it's, you're totally immersed in, with the people, with the music, with what you're seeing, what you're smelling, all your senses are there. So I just feel like, I'm home.
Well, you won the diversity award.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you feel that the people that are going to Alcatraz that are participating with you, is it a diverse crowd? Is it just all Native Americans? Who's going?
Honestly, I think most people are indigenous and native, but you will see, like, someone in a black puffer and jeans, and I'm like, okay, they're probably not native. They might be our, you know, fellow comrade, an ally, if you will. There is a lot of allies there. I mean, the diversity itself with how people dress, I mean, natives, a bunch of natives are going, but, you know, there's not one stereotype-looking native. And, like, there's so many different types of us. So it's very diverse always.
Well, you know, talking about the power of Native people, in 2010, I got very, very ill. I mean, it was really a matter of life and death. And the Promos here in Sonoma County, they have a wonderful, wonderful dance group. I mean, they're just beautiful people.
Yeah.
And they found out that I was ill. They actually got a hold of Ken, brought him down, put him in a circle, and danced around him and sent out prayers for me. And here I am almost 20 years later. I mean, I really attribute that dance and that acknowledgement. I mean, it was such, I couldn't believe it when he came back and told me. I said, "The Pomos dance for us?"
Mm.
I didn't even know they knew us.
Oh.
And I can't remember the woman's name now that was very, very prominent in doing this. And it was an amazing experience. So talk a little bit about, we're coming to the end of our segment here. I mean, we've had a wonderful time. I mean,
so lovely.
I can't begin to tell you what an honor it is to have both of you in. I can't begin to tell you how jealous I am to see mother and daughter to be so much. And
Come join us. Let's go get coffee.
We're down to the wire. So let's give some last words. What would you like people to know about Thanksgiving? How would you like them to tell their families, to remind them about what Thanksgiving is really all about?
Well, you mentioned KPFA, so I would just suggest people to listen in on the radio channel that morning if they're able to at 98.3 KPFA. 89.3, sorry. And then also, so the sunrise ceremony, there also is one here at Yakima, and that's in Forestville.
Oh, really? Good.
And mm-hmm. So that's this Thursday. So they do a sunrise ceremony here. So that would be, you know, probably wake up 4 a.m, head out there.
Right next to Schoen Farms.
Yes. SRGC. So it's 7465 Steve Olson Drive, Forestville, California, 95436. And so for future times for the Alcatraz Island, you can go to Alcatraz City Cruises, the tour options tab, and then select the Sunrise Gathering Ceremony. And they do sell out. If you have not ever gone, I would suggest to go at least once in your life.
And I think I would say for Thanksgiving, take the time to take care of yourself before you begin taking care of others. I think that's something that on Thanksgiving, we get so stimulated in doing this, doing that. It's going to be Christmas. It's all of this and that. I think for Thanksgiving this year, we should really just take a deep breath and then go do one thing at a time this Thanksgiving. And also watch Charlie Brown and be thankful for the Native peoples who had this land.
One last thing, Madonna, I know you give presentations. Can you give real quickly your website? Your
MadonnaFeather.com.
And are any productions in Cinnabar you're involved with?
Yes. Currently, I am designing the first three shows of next season, Still Magnolias, Gutenberg, and I'm doing Hamlet, but that might be in later in the year. Wow. Still Magnolias and Gutenberg. Guys, you got to come out and check out CinnabarTheater.com, Cinnabar Theater. It's going to be awesome. Still Magnolias.
Thank you, Elaine. I'm glad you're better.
Well, I'm glad I'm better, too, and I'm glad I'm sitting across from both of you. It's really an honor. Well, thank you, Madonna Feather Cruz and Ronaldo Cruz, for being here and being such not only great guests, but, you know, after being away a whole month, to have so much fun and to be so spontaneous. You know, at the beginning, we had a little bit of problems with our technical and all the other stuff, but thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here. Well, folks, you've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And I have one suggestion, especially for those of you listening to this program. When it comes time, you know, in our family, we do a tradition where we go around the table and what we're thankful for. I'm going to say I'm thankful for the Native American people that I know, and I'm thankful for the fact that we were on the radio and we were able to do this, and to remind people what the Native American people did for the people that originally arrived to this place and what they did to them. It's very important that we acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm. And not dress up as them.
Pardon?
And not dress up as them.
Oh, not trust that.
Costume.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. You know, I never thought of that. That people, all the different, all the different paraphernalia they sell around Thanksgiving. You know, you really don't think about that. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful to be on the air. I'm so grateful to be alive today. And I, as I do at the end of every show, our children are the future. And we must never, never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holtz with Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening.
Because the woman in your life is you. And who knows more about your story, about your struggles in the world? Who cares more to bless your weary shoulders than the woman in your life as she's trying to come through? A woman's voice with messages, a woman's feelings. Oh, the woman in your life, she can feel so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. And who is sure to give you comfort?
you strong, who will bear all the joy that is coming to you, if not a woman in your life, as she's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting and she'll take you home now.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 25th, 2024.